Here in Titus chapter 1, great passage of Scripture, verses 15 and 16, where Paul is emphasizing how important it is that we have a godly testimony. Our testimony is so important as Christians, and it's something that we can lose if we choose to turn our backs on the ways of the Lord and go off into disobedience, something very hard to get back if you lose it. And so Paul here in verse 15, he says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So in works they deny him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts to teach us, to grow us, Lord, to convict us if necessary, to meet the needs of every heart. We thank you that we have your powerful word and the Holy Spirit we can rely on to make this possible. And I pray that this service would be guided by you into your perfect wisdom and bring glory to you. So, Lord, we now open our hearts to hear from you and to please you and honor you. And we pray this will all happen in this service. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So as Paul says here in verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure. When you're right with God, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're living for God, purity is a pleasurable thing. You enjoy serving God. You enjoy pleasing the Lord. Just like when our children, when they're growing up and they obey us, they get pleasure out of that. They enjoy obeying their parents sometimes. Sadly, it's not all the time, but it's the same as us with God. When we're right with God, when we're walking with God, unto the pure, all things are pure. But it says, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. When we're not walking with the Lord, when we're away from God, when we're living in sin, it reveals an unbelief that God even cares, but an unbelief that God, as our loving Father, will deal to us if necessary. Because if we believe that God loves us enough to chastise us when we disobey, then why do we disobey? Think about it. What we're saying is, well, yeah, maybe he'll chastise me. But if we choose to walk off into disobedience, he will. He's guaranteed that he would. And when you're defiled, you don't focus on the things that are pure. You said focus on the things that aren't pure. It says nothing is pure when you're walking away from God. But in verse 15, it says, even their mind and their conscience is defiled. It always seems to start in the mind, walking away from the Lord. And that's where we fight the devil every day. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God at the pulling down of strongholds in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Casting down imaginations. The devil attacks our imaginations and our thoughts all the time, doesn't he? If you go to Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus explained that it's out of our heart, out of our thought life, that we commit a lot of sins. And that's what Paul is saying here, is that when we're not in purity, when we're not walking with the Lord, nothing is pure, and even our mind and our conscience gets defiled. Notice Matthew 15, 19, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Out of the heart. And we have a conscience given to us by the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Sadly, that conscience can be defiled. That conscience can be seared. Notice here in 1 Timothy 4, 2, talking about the end times. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, have their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's a description of the world in which we live today, is it not? Now, we were all given a conscience. We're told in Romans chapter 1 that we're without excuse, that we know there's a creator. God put that within our hearts to know that there, when we look around and see creation, that someone created it. But we can choose to sear that with sin and with lack of faith in our creator. And that's what happens with the world, but it also can happen to Christians. And he tells us in Hebrews 9 that we need to purge our conscience from dead works. We need to get it right. But if you go to Proverbs 23, verse 7, we're talking about our thought life. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. God makes an interesting statement about our thought life. And Really, if you let this sink into your hearts, it can even change your life if you think about it. Proverbs 23, verse 7, look what it says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are not what we think we are. We are what we think. I know it's a bit of a tongue twister. We all are masters of self-deception, right? Self-promotion, thinking that we're better than we are. So we're not what we think we are. But we are what we think. That's what God says. As he thinketh, so is he. So you think the devil's not going to attack our thought life? I guarantee he will. He wants Christians to be defiled. He wants them to be impure. He wants them to turn their back on the Lord and not live for Christ. Because he ultimately wants their testimony ruined. So they won't be effective for Jesus Christ in reaching others and touching lives for Christ. Go to Hebrews 4:12. Very important verse we all understand about the word. But did you know that this word that we have in our hands, which is synonymous with Jesus Christ, has the power to even discern our thought life? You can't say that about any other book on this earth, amen? But this book. So what's it say? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Look at the last phrase. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we can't read each other's thoughts. We'd be in trouble if we could. But the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful enough to reach down in there and to convict us and to draw us back to the Lord. And God will do that through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, when we're drawn away from being committed to Christ. So the key of my message is verse 16. Let's go back there this morning, Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God. There's a lot of people in the world today that profess that they're Christians. They say, I'm a Christian. And most of us in this room, if not all of us, would profess that we know God. Because Jesus said, if we don't know Him, we won't spend eternity with Him, right? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7:23. They profess that they know God. No, it's one thing to profess it. In other words, to say, I know God. But God wants this profession to be backed up by our life, by our testimony. It's one thing to say, I know God. And by the way, the word Christian, which we claim to be, means a Christ follower or to be Christ-like. Are we followers of Christ? Are we walking and trying to be like Christ? They profess that they know God. Go to 1 Timothy 6:12. Back two books from Titus. And notice what Paul says about our profession. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says of Timothy, you've professed a good profession. You've had a good testimony. People see your life and they say, yes, Timothy is obviously a believer in Jesus Christ. Professed a good profession. This is what God wants from all of us. And then go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33, if you would, over to the right three books. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Sorry, not 33. Hebrews 10, 23. What's it say? Let us hold fast our profession, the profession of our faith without wavering. Your profession, your testimony is something that's very dear to the Lord. He does not want that ruined. He doesn't want it marred. Remember, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, in Matthew 5:16, that they may glorify God. Let your light so shine. The Bible tells us that He wants our actions, our life, to be a reflection of our profession. And this is so important to the Lord. Go to Ephesians 4, if you would, verse 1, where again, God commands us to have a life reflective of who we claim to be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Look what it says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. What's this vocation he's talking about? To be a Christian, to be a child of God, to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to walk worthy of this vocation. Now look over in Ephesians 5, one chapter over, verse 8. The Bible says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When we were born again, we were transformed from darkness to light. Amen. God says, I want you to walk as children of light. Walk what you claim to be, which is a child of light. Colossians 1:10 says, walk worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God. God says it over and over again. I want your walk, I want your conversation, I want your life to be a reflection of your profession. You claim to be a Christ follower, so walk like one. One more verse on this, Hebrews 11. Most of us know Hebrews 11 quite well, called the chapter of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 5, where the Bible talks about the great heroes of the Old Testament, the things that God did through them through faith. But notice verse 5, talking about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't you want that to be your testimony? That he pleased God? Now, Enoch, of course, was very unique in that God allowed him to leave the earth without dying. Just took him. He was the seventh from Adam. He pictures what God's going to do to us as his church when he blows the trumpet. But his testimony was that he pleased God. God wants that to be our testimony. God wants us to strive for that day when we will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and we want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope that's your desire. Now let's go back to Titus 1 and look at the alternative, the sad alternative. It says, but in works, they deny him. It's kind of like what we talked about at family camp. You know, we love and we hate through our actions more than through our words. And we as Christians can claim to love God and claim to be Christians, but in our works, in our behavior, we can deny the Lord. How sad is that? Think how that breaks God's heart to have his own blood-bought children denying him through their behavior. But that's exactly what happens when we choose not to live for the Lord. Our testimony can actually deny our profession. We profess to be Christians, but we lose that effectiveness if we lose our testimony. And Paul says, if you go to 1 Corinthians 9:12, Paul talks about how a testimony can actually hinder the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:12, turn over there if you would. And the last thing we want to be is a hindrance to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is what happens when our works deny him. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I'm going to go beyond. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I don't hinder the gospel of Christ. And that should be our attitude as well. The last thing we want to be is a hindrance. The last thing we want to do is deny the Lord through our actions. And notice he says there in Titus 1:16, abominable. What a word. Bit of trivia, this word's in the Bible one time, this Greek word. Oh, and it means abominable. What's that mean? Well, if you look it up, the definition, it means detestable, disgusting. But we all know what abominable means, don't we? How sad that a Christian could be abominable. But this passage is written to Christian. In works, they deny him. Being abominable. 2 Peter 2, let's turn there, where God gives us a bit of a description of what it looks like when a Christian acts abominable. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 21. This is what it looks like to God when a Christian acts abominable. 2 Peter 2:21. It says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now, we all know that dogs do this, and we all know that pigs do this. But Christians shouldn't. Amen? Christians should never be abominable. They should never go back into the mud, back into the sin, and ruin their testimony by denying him with their works. The second word he uses here in Titus 1:16 is the word disobedient. I don't think we need to define that one, do we? We know that the number one way that we show our love for God is through obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," in John 14:15. 1 John 5:3, the Bible says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Every time we obey God, that is our way of saying, "I love you, Lord." That's a conscious way of saying, "I love you." But when we are disobedient, we are saying the opposite. We are denying him with our testimony. And how sad is that? And we know what his commandments are. It's not complicated. He wants us to pray, to study, to witness, to forgive, to love others, to trust him, to give, to serve him, to be faithful. We could go on and on. We know what the commandments are. But the devil says, let's skip that one. That one's not that important. Every time we do that, through disobedience and works, we are denying him. How sad. So abominable, disobedient. And then the last word he uses here in Titus 1:16 is the word reprobate. What a word. Reprobate. You mean a Christian can act like a reprobate? Sadly, yes. When a Christian decides to sin, through many avenues that we can sin, and as we talk to family camp, the number one way that we sin is through our speech. So if we lie, what have we just done? We've just acted like a reprobate. But notice 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul is talking about his own life and his own desire. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 27. And his desire to make sure that his testimony never says the opposite of his profession, that it never denies the Lord. And this word reprobate here in Titus 1:16 is translated a different word here in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Same Greek word as reprobate. Castaway. Anybody ever met a castaway Christian? We all have, haven't we? They don't go to church anymore. They don't really care what God thinks anymore. They probably don't pray anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. They're a castaway. And with their life, what are they saying? Are they saying they love God? No. They're denying God through their actions. How sad that we would actually deny the very one that bought us with his blood and gave us eternal life and is creating a mansion for us in heaven and has given us everything. And in return, through our behavior, we can deny him. So let's not do it. Amen. Let's be careful. Let's not listen to the devil. And make sure that in our works, not just in our profession, but in our works, in our behavior, in our conversation, our life, the things that we talk about, the things we do, that we are saying, I love God. And I am a follower of God. Because as we talk to family camp with God, it's one or the other. There's no gray. At any given time, we are either saying, I love you, or as much as we hate the word hate, I hate you. How sad that we would ever say that to our Lord, but we do sometimes through our behavior. In works, they deny him. Now, Paul here is writing to Christians. He's not writing to the world. The world already denies him through their works, but they're not his. So that's irrelevant, right? And if you're not born again, then you're not a Christian. And this doesn't apply to you. Jesus made it very clear. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because we're sinners. And the Bible teaches that we deserve to go to hell because of our sin. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sin. Hallelujah. He paid it all, it says. And when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. Our sin had been paid for. And when he died for us and became sin for us. And it was paid for through his blood. He rose again the third day to say he had the power over death. And now he can offer us eternal life, which he does. As a gift. We need to repent that we're sinners and ask him to save us. And he said he will. And I hope that everybody in the room can say, that's me. There was a time in my life someone presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. And I repented of my sin and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know I'm going to heaven. But if you do know that, don't let the devil trick you into now denying the very Lord that bought you through your works. But when we are disobedient, and when we're reprobate, and when we're abominable, that's exactly what we're doing. We're denying the very one that did everything for us. Hold on to that testimony, amen? Keep shining for Jesus. Let's pray.